Amen. All righty. Well, you're already in Genesis chapter number 24, so let me go ahead and let me pass these out to you. I forgot to give them to you a while ago. This is a test. We're coming towards the end of the year. This will be it. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. All right. And what you'll look at on this sheet right here tonight is Abraham and his three brothers and their family. So, and you'll see why it's important when we talk about that tonight. But there in Genesis chapter number 24, you'll see what we'll be talking about tonight. You'll remember the past few months, of course, we've been from Genesis 12 to Genesis 24. It's taken us about 4 months to get through there. But we've been looking at the life of Abraham. In the past 2 weeks, we looked at Genesis 21. We saw that God fulfilled His promise when He gave Abraham and Sarah their son Isaac. And then last week, I really enjoyed looking at Genesis chapter number 22, one of the most monumental portions of Scripture, when God asked Abraham if he would go and sacrifice his son, and the faith of Abraham led him to go and literally lay down his son just because God told him to do it. But then we saw that God provided a substitute, and He's done the exact same thing for us. When we were supposed to be the ones dying, He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. So that's exactly kind of what that typified last week. And we'll skip through chapter 23 tonight just to get to chapter 24, and I'll go back to it a little bit. But find your place in chapter 24, verse 1, and you'll see that the book of Genesis 24, it has 67 verses in it in chapter 24. So this is a very long chapter. We're not going to read all the verses tonight. But I do want to read the first 14 verses in chapter number 24 here, and then we'll get right into our message tonight, okay? All right. Everybody good? Say amen. All right. Verse 1 says this. Yes, if anyone didn't get one, raise your hand. All right. We're good. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. All right. Verse 1 says, and Abraham was old. It kind of just comes out there and says it. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You remember God promised to bless Abraham, and God kept His promise again, of course, as you know. Verse 2 says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. Now you'll see that that is the brother of Abraham. So he's going back to where Abraham came from, and his brothers are still living there. Verse 11 said, this servant made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let this same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So that's where we'll stop right here for tonight. You know, for me, my favorite time of the season is fall. Now, obviously, it is still 98 degrees, so it doesn't feel like fall to me. But my favorite time of year is October, November, and December. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Because usually when I get home from the church, you can turn on the TV, and the TV will be on the channel called the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel. Now, obviously, the Hallmark Channel show Christmas movies year-round, but they ain't good till you come towards the Christmas season. I remember last year I would come home from the church and Monica would be there and she'd be just sitting on the couch watching the TV and be on the Hallmark Channel. And I'd say, honey, we need to change this to ESPN. And she'd say, just sit down and watch one of them. You might like it. So I sat down and I started watching. The beginning of it started out good because a woman betrayed the man. I thought, boy, this is suspenseful. I mean, it's snowing. It's beautiful. It looks just like Christmas. And then at the end of it, of course, it comes back to where the man and the woman come back together. And it's just a perfect love story. And they kiss, and the credits roll. And I look at Monica, I said, that was pretty good, honey. I said, let's watch another one. She said, all right. The next one came on. The woman betrayed the man. It was snowing. It was a love story. At the end of it, they kissed and the credits rolled. I said, honey, that felt a lot like the last movie that just played. Because I'm telling you, you watch the Hallmark Channel, you'll find that it's about the same actors. And it's just about the same exact movie line. They betray at the end. Why? Love story. Woo! But I'll be honest with you, that is life. I'll be honest with you, don't tell nobody, but I am a sucker for a good love story. You can't beat a good love story. And, you know, talking about love stories, the Bible is filled with them. The Bible is filled with them. And I think the first love story that you'll find in the Bible besides Genesis chapter number 2, I think it is, when, remember, God created Adam from the dust of the ground. He put Adam to sleep, took a rib from him. And Adam woke up and he saw somebody standing there that he'd never seen before. You know what he said? Whoa, man. That's how she's called a woman. Whoa, man. That's probably the first love story in your Bible when they come together and we find the first marriage. But you'll also find that this right here is a particularly really good love story between Isaac and when he finds his to-come bride, Rebecca. But you know, the Bible is one big love story. Because in Genesis chapter number 3, we betrayed God. We rebelled against God. We sinned against God. But the New Testament came along and God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. And if that ain't love, I don't know what is. That's the definition right there of true love, when God sent His Son into the world for our sin. But tonight, we will look at one of the first love stories that you find in the Bible in Genesis chapter number 24. So let's go through it tonight. We didn't go through chapter 23, but flip back to it and look at verse 1. You'll remember Abraham and Sarah are married. They miraculously have their son Isaac. Well, a few years go by. Isaac's a teenager. Isaac's 20, 25, 26 years old. And you'll find here in verse 1 it says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years, which is 127 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So right before we get here, you'll find that Isaac's mother, she dies. You'll find that Abraham's wife, she dies. So this particular time in the life of Abraham, in the life of Isaac, isn't the best time. Because somebody's mama just passed away. Somebody's wife just passed away. And Abraham and Isaac are going through a time of grieving, a time of mourning, a time of hurt. And you'll see that if Sarah is 127, she had Isaac when she was 90. That makes Isaac 37, at least at the point that we come to Genesis chapter number 24, which makes Abraham about 137. So he's getting up there in years, as the Bible tells you as well. But I want you to remember the promise that God gave to Abraham. Remember, He gave him a great promise. He promised to give him what? Great descendants that would become a great nation, that would inherit a great land, that would eventually give birth to a great Savior. So you'll find that Abraham is about to die. He is old, he's well stricken in age. And the Bible says that that promise that God gave to Abraham, that promise is now going to be passed down to Isaac. So Isaac is now going to have great descendants to inherit a great land, to become a great nation that we know as the nation of Israel. So that promise has been passed down. But in order for Isaac to have great descendants, the first thing that he needs, Brother Ed, is a wife. In order to have children to do it God's way, he needs a wife. So what we find tonight is that Abraham has a burden for his son Isaac to come and to find a wife. And that's what we'll find tonight, that Isaac becomes a husband and gets himself a bride. And through this family, Isaac and Rebekah is her name, they will literally produce millions of descendants that are still living today called the Jewish people. But you will see that Abraham had basically one request about this wife. That she doesn't come from the land of Canaan. She does not come from the land of Canaan. I'll tell you why in a minute. But he does tell his servant, he says, go back to where I came from and get my son a wife from there. Now you'll remember, if you'll see there on your sheet, Abraham came from the land of Mesopotamia. He came from the land of Ur. And Genesis 11 tells you that Abraham also had two brothers that were named, what was it, Haran and Nahor. Okay? So you got Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob. You got Haran, who did he have? What was that, Lot? So he had Lot, and then Lot had the two daughters. And we didn't go into that. But Lot actually, who was it? It would have been his, his daughters fooled him into sleeping with them. And they had two children named Moab and Ammon. And you'll see all throughout the Old Testament the Moabites and the Ammonites. So they came from Lot. Those were the people that were enemies to the nation of Israel. But you'll see there, you've got, I think it's at the bottom, it's Rebekah, Bethuel, and who was at the top? Nahor. So you've got that. Them three are the brothers of Abraham, Nahor and Lot's father. So you'll see tonight that Isaac actually is going to marry his, what is that? That would make it her second cousin. Now, today it might be weird, but back in the book of Genesis, it's not that weird because the gene pool hadn't become like it was today. It hadn't increased so much that they don't have diseases like we have today and all this stuff. Now, if you live in West Virginia, it's probably still not that weird to get your second cousin. But anyway, sorry if anybody's from West Virginia. But you'll see that Isaac is actually going to marry his second cousin, Rebekah, in our story here tonight. But I just wanted you to see that's Abraham's brothers, and this is the family that he is going back to find Rebekah. All right, so the first thing that I want you to see tonight, hopefully, is that Abraham's desire. Abraham's desire is listed for us in verses 1 through 9. Now you can imagine that Abraham is now 137 years old at least. Isaac is at least 37 years old. They have a son, Isaac. You can imagine when Isaac was born, as any father and mother do or should do, when that child is born, they begin praying for that child. Even before the child is born, they begin praying for that child. One of the main things I can imagine they begin praying for Isaac is that Isaac would serve the Lord with his life. That Isaac would find the will of God for his life. That Isaac would come to faith, saving faith in Christ. But another prayer I'm sure that they had was that Isaac might find a godly bride that would help him in his life. A wife that could be a helpmate to him. And Abraham has been praying this, I'm sure, for the last 30, 40 years for Isaac. And Isaac is 37 and he still does not have a wife. And Abraham realizes Sarah is now gone. She's now dead and he's getting pretty old himself. He's getting up there in years. He knows his days are ending and he knows his son needs a bride to carry out the promise of God. So what he does is he's going to send his servant to say, go get a bride for my son. What's interesting about that is Isaac didn't go do it. Because in these days, in Old Testament, New Testament days, when people were getting married, the boy and the girl didn't decide to get married. The parents were the ones who decided to put them together and get them married. I mentioned the Andy Griffith Show when they did that to Opie. I think it was the Darlings wanted to set up Opie with their daughter. But anyway, but the fact is, that's what happened during the times of the Bible. The parents would set them up. They really didn't have a say in it. So what you have here is Abraham is going to do that. But the request here in verse 3, he tells his servant, he says, we got to find a wife for Isaac, But do not take her from this land. Do not take her from the land of Canaan. You say, why is that? Because when people would get married, a boy and a girl, that would also mean that the parents come together and they're basically together too. And this is what Abraham did not want. Abraham did not want his family joining up with a family that did not worship the same God he did. Abraham saw what the Canaanites did. He saw the immorality that they practiced. He saw the idols, literally idols of stone that they worshipped. And he said, I don't want my son being literally infested and infected with that kind of religion. I need him to have the same, her to have the same God that Isaac has. You say, well, do they have the same God way over in the east in Mesopotamia? Well, apparently you'll find in this study, Abraham had a great impact on his brother that lived over in Mesopotamia. And you'll see that in the end verses of this chapter, more than likely they came to saving faith in God too. So Abraham had an impact on his brother, and Rebekah was now somebody who believed God. And Abraham knows that. So he's saying, you need to go find a believer for my son Isaac. Because Abraham realized something that I'm glad I realized before March. That the most important characteristic of your spouse is not what they look like, not what they dress like, not what they talk like, it's not how much money they make. The number one characteristic to look for when you're looking for a spouse is whether they have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or not. That's the most important thing. Can I tell you why it's the most important thing? Not only because it is an obvious most important thing, but because the Bible tells us to do so. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I believe it is, remember Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He said, that don't make sense. You see, in Corinth, there were believers over here and unbelievers over here. And he's writing to them, he says, when you're thinking about getting married, when you're thinking about finding a spouse, don't find an unbeliever. And you see, you've seen it more than I have, but I've seen it. When a believer wants to marry an unbeliever, their number one logic is this. Maybe they'll get saved. Maybe I can help them. Maybe I can influence them. But you've seen 99.9% of the time, the saved person does not influence the unsaved person to come to Christ. The unsaved person influences the saved person to walk away from Christ. And that's exactly why Paul says, don't marry an unbeliever. Now, but the Bible also does tell you that if you are married to an unbeliever, don't leave. Because your godly virtues, your godly attitude can eventually win them to Christ. But I'm glad that the Lord showed me before this happened that the most important thing about a spouse is not that what they look like, what their job is, how much money they make. The number one most important thing today and always, so make sure that person has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize most of you in here are married tonight and you don't need to hear that. But you have children and grandchildren that might not be married. And guess what? They need to hear that. And they need to hear it from you. Because it'll be very important coming from you. But Paul tells us that. So that's the reason why Abraham is saying this. To go back to my land and find a believer. And the servant asked Abraham a question that I would have asked. I'd have said, well, Abraham, I'm not taking Isaac. More than likely, she's going to say, I don't see him. I don't know what he looks like. I'm not coming back to that land with you to marry somebody that I've never seen before that I don't even know. So he says, Abraham, shouldn't I just take Isaac so she can see him? Abraham says, no. Don't do that. He said, God called me to this land, and me and Isaac are not leaving this land. We're not going to go out of the will of God to find what we need. And that is a very important principle for every single one of us. We all have needs. We all have desires. But do not step out of the will of God to get those needs and desires. Because as Charles Stanley says, everything you acquire outside of the will of God eventually will turn to ashes. Eventually will turn to ashes. So don't step out of the will of God to go get something that we need, because God will provide if you stay in the will of God. But you'll find that here tonight. But the main thing in this first point that I want you to see, Abraham, Father Abraham, had a desire that his son would have a bride. That his son would have a bride. The second thing that I want you to see tonight is not only Abraham's desire, but the servant's departure. You'll see in verse 10 that the servant said, okay, I can go do this for you, Abraham. God will be with me. God will provide. And the Bible says that he took 10 camels with him. And if you'll read commentaries, that will tell you that to have 10 camels during this time meant you were very, very, very rich. And we know that Abraham was very rich. He was very blessed by God. So he goes into the city of Mesopotamia. And I want you to see tonight that he was sent by the father Abraham. He wasn't going because it was his plan. He was going because Abraham told him to go. Not only was he sent, but you'll find in verse 11 that he was seeking. He was seeking a woman. Now, where did he go to seek a woman? If he was going to seek a woman today, he'd probably go to Starbucks. He'd probably go to Target. Or Lord help, he'd go to TJ Maxx and Hobby Lobby, where I go all the time. If he's trying to find a woman today, he'd walk into TJ Maxx because they're everywhere, spending their husband's money. Amen. But during this time, they were going to go to the well of water because that's where the women went during the time of the evening. So he comes here and he is seeking the will of God for Isaac, for his servant Abraham. Now let me ask you this question. We all have decisions that we make. Life is made up of literally decisions every single day. And we ought to make those decisions within the will of God. Amen. When you are seeking God's will on something, what's the first thing you do? Let me ask you. You can come to me. I'd love you to come to me. But can I tell you, I don't know what God's will is for your personal life. I can tell you my suggestion. I can tell you what I've seen before. But I don't know what God wants for your life. You say, well, I should just go on my logic. No, don't ever do that. I should just go on my reason of what looks fine. No, don't ever do that, because God's plans are higher than ours and He sees what we don't. And I'm glad He sees what we don't, and He'll always lead us. But the number one thing we should always do when we are seeking the will of God, two things. Make sure your Bible's open. You're always reading it because God speaks directly through that Bible. But number two, the main thing you should do when you are seeking God's will is pray. Is pray. Can I tell you, God answers the prayers of somebody who comes and says, God, what is your will? He will show us. And that's exactly what this servant does. We get down to verse 12, and he gets by the well of water, literally seeking the will of God. And he says, all right, God, this is what I need you to do for me. He said, I'm standing here, and there's going to be a bunch of women that come by. He said, but the woman who comes by me and gives me a drink of her water, and then takes these 10 camels and fills up buckets for them, he says, let that be her. Now that is a very specific request that he told God. Now I've told you this before. I very much suggest being very, 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 very specific with God. Because what happens when you're specific with God and you pray something and He comes through, you know what it does? It gives you confidence that He heard you. It lets you know that when nobody else heard you, and when you were all in your room praying by yourself and nobody else heard, and when God does it to the very T, you can say, somebody was listening. God does listen to my prayers, and God does desire to answer my prayers. Let me tell you something. When you are seeking God's will for something in your life, God does not want to hide it from you. God does not want to hide His will from us. God wants to show us exactly what His will is, but we have to come and seek Him for His will. And I've said this before, God will literally move heaven and earth to show you His will if you just ask Him. Remember what He did for Gideon? I don't suggest laying out a fleece. But Gideon laid out a fleece and said, God, if this is your will, I want you to wet that fleece, but don't put any dew on any other part of the grass when I wake up in the morning. That is a miracle for Gideon to walk out and see that that fleece was wet as could be, but no other part of the ground was wet. And Gideon said, I'm sorry, God. I need to do this again to make sure. He said, I'm going to lay it out here tonight. I want you to wet the grass. Make sure this fleece is dry. Guess what? He walked out. Fleece was dry. Every other part was wet. God moved heaven. God moved earth to show Gideon what His will was. He did the same thing for Joshua. Remember in Joshua, the day the sun stood still? We talk about the sun standing still. Really, the earth stopped moving. God literally stopped the earth from its rotating axis to give the nation of Israel more sunlight so that they could fight and win the battle. God stopped the earth from turning to show them His will that they defeat the enemy. I'll never forget this. Charles Stanley again. Y'all probably getting tired of him. But he was in Bible college and he was seeking God's will on what to do, where to go, and all this stuff. And I think he said he was in a Bible study that night with a bunch of his friends. And he was really seeking the will of God on something. And he began praying. He said, God, I got to walk back to my dorm room here soon. And I really need your will on this. Whether I need to do this or whether I don't need to do this. He said, God, just show me something. Show me something before I get back to my dorm. Show me what to do. And he tells a story that as he was walking back to his dorm, for some reason he just started looking up into the sky, and all of a sudden a big old shooting star went just like that. And he said he had the peace in his heart that God said, I just showed you something, and that is my will for you. Can I tell you, if you believe that God can do it, He will do it, if it is His will to do it. Pray specific prayers. Don't just say, God, bless my family, bless us tonight, bless us in the morning. Tell Him what you're really thinking and what you really want Him to do. I'm going to tell you this story. On my notes right here, it just says, praise God. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll never forget this. I think it was, when was your bridal portraits? January? February? About a month before we got married. She was going to have bridal portraits in February. And I remember one day I was up here studying and I went to our home and there she was just sitting on the couch and she was crying. Well, I don't know about some of y'all husbands up in here, but when I see my husband, when I see my wife cry, there's two things that swell up in me. Number one, I'm going to punch somebody that made her cry. Number two, I'm going to cry myself because I feel so bad. And I sat down and I said, honey, what's the matter? And she said, it's supposed to rain on the day of my bridal portraits. And that may not mean a lot to y'all, but it meant a lot to her. And therefore, it meant a lot to me. And we looked at the radar, and Saturday, literally 100% rain. And she couldn't do it any other day before we got married. And I sat down, she's just crying. I thought, Lord, help. I'm supposed to be able to fix everything. I can't fix this. And I grabbed her hand. I said, honey, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to trust God that on Saturday at 3 p.m., whether it's raining at 2:59, at 3 p.m., God's going to stop it. And He's going to give you an hour to take them pictures. She just stared at me. I said, let's just do it. What's going to hurt? I said, let's trust Him and see what happens. All throughout that week, she probably looked at the radar a million times. She'd text me on Wednesday, it's still 100% rain. I said, I don't know what to do. We're just going to keep on praying. I remember we got to Friday and it had gone down to 70% chance of rain on that day. I remember thinking, well, God, that's better than 100%, I guess. And I remember that day we prayed together before she left. And I said, God, don't even stop the rain. I said, God, why don't you bring out some sun? Why don't you bring out some sun for her? And I'll never forget that the day she went and had a maid, and I was up here in the office studying. And I remember it was about 2 o'clock. I think it was 3 o'clock. She was going to have her pictures made. And I was just praying, and I thought, all right, God, this ain't nothing I can do. I said, if it rains, it just wasn't your will. I'm about to run a lap. Well, I remember looking out my window, Brother Danny, and it was about 2:45. And all I can remember is seeing them big old storm clouds. They started to go just like that. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. If this happens, I'm going to run. And I remember I went into your Sunday school class because she was having her pictures made towards that way. And all I remember seeing is looking down at my clock, and it was 2:55, and all I saw was a big ray of sun pop out. And boy, I shouted, glory, hallelujah. And I wanted to run as fast as I've ever ran in my entire life. And she texted me and she said, honey, the sun's out. I said, God did it again. Can I tell you, I have a note card in my office right now that says, God did it on this day. He answered this prayer and I'll never get rid of it. And that's a day that I'll never forget the rest of my life. Because God cared about something that was maybe small to you, but it was big to us. God said, I care. And I'll bring out the sun for you. And I got a picture in my office right now. You can see her. And right behind her is a ray of sun shining right behind her. And that's a day I'll never forget my entire life. Because God cared enough to answer something that specific. That specific. Can I tell you, we can spend the next 30 minutes going through how many times God has answered a specific prayer for you. I'll tell you one more about the weather. Praying for our wedding. I didn't want it to be 30 degrees. It was in March. I'd have been miserable. I remember January, approaching March, we would pray every day, God, make it 60 degrees. Make it 60 degrees. I realize it's March. I realize it ain't going to be 75. But I sure don't want it to be 35. So God, let it be 60 degrees on our wedding day. I have a picture on my phone when I woke up on March 16th. And I pulled up the weather app on my iPad. You know what the high was? 60 degrees. Not 61. Not 59. 60 degrees. That's weather. God cares about so much more than that. Can I tell you, if you have a lost grandson, if you have a lost granddaughter, if you have a lost son or daughter, God certainly cares about you praying, God save them. So don't ever think that God does not answer prayer. Can I tell you, when you're in your room and you're all by yourself and you feel weird for even talking, realize that there is somebody right here and there is somebody right here listening to every single word you say and He cares about it. And don't just say, God bless this and bless that. Yeah, He loves that. But tell Him exactly the desire of your heart. And He'll conform your heart so that it'll become like His heart. And He'll give you exactly what you ask for if it's in His will. God answers prayer. I feel like stopping right now. I'm not done, but I could stop. But praise God that He still answers prayer. So tonight, I not only want you to see the Abraham's desire, but also the servant's departure. And I'm almost done with that point. You'll see, we didn't read this, but remember the servant said, all right, I'm going to pray this specific. Whoever the woman is that gives me a drink, then gives drink to my camels, that's going to be her. I can imagine them women start coming out and he's just looking. I'm sure he's wore out from that journey. All these women just walk by him, walk by him, walk by him. And the Bible says a beautiful young girl whose name was Rebecca came by. And she stared at him with compassion. She said, sir, you look thirsty. Why don't I give you a drink? And I can just imagine his heart just starts going. He says, God, this might be it. And then all of a sudden, Brother Johnny, I think she starts looking at his camels. She says, boy, ain't these cute. They look thirsty. And she says, why don't I give them some drink too? And I can imagine that servant's heart just wanted to shout the same way I did, hallelujah! But Rebecca would have said, never mind. But he's sitting here thinking, this is amazing, God. I can't believe you did this again. And God did it. God brought literally a woman who did exactly what he asked God to do. But you'll find that not only that, you also need to see, thirdly, the bride's dispatch, how she left her family to go to another family. Rebecca was her name. And the servant tells Rebecca about exactly what he told God. And I believe her mind is probably blown too. And remember, during this day, it wasn't her who put together the marriage. It would have been her father. And you'll also see that it was her brother Laban that put together this marriage. So they invite the servant back to Rebekah's house, to where his dad and her dad and her brother are there. And the Bible says that the servant basically goes through the whole spiel with the dad, go through the whole spiel with the brother, and they say, I don't have anything to say about it. They say, this is of God. There's nothing else we can say. But then the Bible says they sat down, they ate, and they drank together, verse 54. And the servant said unto them, send me away unto my master. Verse 55 says, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And I want you to see verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. So the servant comes and asks Rebekah and says, it's not up to them whether you're going to go or not. It's up to your decision. Are you going to go or not? And Rebekah says, I will. I will. And Rebekah left her family way over to the east to come to a brand new family that was living in the land of Canaan. I want you to realize this. Rebekah had never seen Isaac one time in her life. And yet, I can imagine she already loved Isaac, although she had never seen him. She loved him. She was not going on sight. She was going solely on faith to meet her new husband. Now, that took faith to be able to do that. And you'll find that at the end of chapter 24, she approaches Isaac. Isaac is out in the field meditating. He's probably praying. He's probably thanking God. And the Bible says the camels start coming back home. And on the back of them is a brand new bride. And Rebekah sees Isaac and she says, who is that? And the servant says, that's your new husband. That's your new husband. And literally the rest is history. Because Isaac and Rebekah had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, four different women. Those 12 sons became the children of who? Of Israel. And all throughout the Old Testament, you can see what God did just through this one family right here, through Isaac and Rebekah, then through Jacob, and then through his 12 sons. The rest is literally history from there. You say, well, what does all this mean tonight? I want you to listen to this. What Romans 15:4 says. Paul says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. During Paul's time, they didn't have one glimpse of the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. Paul says they were written for us to learn, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In other words, study the life of Abraham, study the life of Isaac, study the life of David, of Daniel, of Joseph, of all these people, and find that we serve the same God that they serve the same God that we serve today. And you can find hope in their lives because he hadn't changed one bit. You say, well, what can I get out of this? It was Abraham's desire for his son to have a bride. It was Abraham's desire, the father of the Jewish people, for his son to have a bride. Can I tell you what I think? What a lot of other people think? That before the foundation of the world, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe in all my heart that God the Father desired a bride for His Son. And He created Adam and Eve in the garden to give His Son a bride. But you'll find the New Testament comes along. And God sends down a servant in Acts chapter number 2. That servant is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent down to do what? Find a bride for the Son. And can I tell you, one day in 2006, the Holy Spirit came knocking by my door and said, will you come? The same way He said to Rebekah. And I said, I will. Rebekah had never seen Jesus before. Excuse me. She'd never seen Isaac before. And yet she loved him. The Bible says, though we've never seen Jesus, yet we love Him. And we are the bride of Christ. And He loves us. And He's provided a place for us where we can live with Him for all of eternity. Remember, the Bible says in the New Testament that the Old Testament are a bunch of the shadows of things to come. In other words, they're just the shadow shining off of something. And they're shining off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, you always, whether you in Genesis, Ecclesiastes, or Proverbs, you need to end it with Jesus. Because if we don't have Jesus, it don't mean much to us. Can I tell you, we are the bride of Christ. He loves us. He's brought us to Himself. And He's preparing a home for us in heaven. And one day, He's going to bring us right there as His bride. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, thank You so much that all throughout Your Word, God, we can find hope. We can learn from Your Word, God, and we can just gain strength, God, that You are the same God that answered the prayer for this servant. You are the same God who hears our prayers every single day of our lives. God, we thank You that we have access to You in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And You said, if You ask it in My name, I will do it. So Father, we just thank You so much for answering our prayers, for showing us that You hear us, showing us that You care about us. And Father, I pray that so many people in this church right now, God, they will have testimonies of how many times You've come through for them. And they'll be able to share it with other people that, God, You heard their prayers, You answered their prayers, and You came through for them when nobody else could do it. Lord, we thank You tonight for always coming through for us, for always answering our prayers, for always being there to hear us. Lord, we thank You. Keep us safe as we leave this place. Bring us back together on Sunday, God, as we worship. Just give us a good time of worship together, God. We magnify Your name. We love You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we'll see you on Sunday. Remember, there'll be no Sunday school, but...